Today on The Grave Talks, part two of our conversation about the haunts of Mackinac Island with author Todd Clements. So, any idea who is haunting Mission Point Resort?
One, we don't know. The little girl, we don't know any of her history. We don't know where she came from or who she is. But the man and the woman, we think we know who the woman is. And we're pretty sure we know who the man is, who's one of the more famous ghosts on the island.
Who is he?
His nickname, and this is his nickname because that's just what the workers at Mission Point Resort nicknamed him, was Harvey. Harvey was not his real name. His real name is Craig. It took time to get all the information on him, but we eventually got all the information. And it's a sad story, but he seems to be a pretty comfortable being a ghost from everything we've gotten. He likes to make practical jokes. He loves women. He's not afraid to get into bed with customers in the hotel.
Oh.
And he's a flirt. He likes to play practical jokes. We found out who he was. He was a student when Mackinac Island had a college. It was Mackinac College. And it was where Mission Point is now. The hotel rooms used to be dorm rooms. And they converted it into a hotel in the 1970s. And it was a college for 4 years. The college did not take off. It's a remote location. You imagine there in the winter. It didn't work out. They had financial troubles and students weren't, it was tough to live in Mackinac in the winter. So he was one of the students at the college and he was part of the first class. And basically he goes to school there. And he doesn't necessarily feel like he fits in. He has a few friends. We talked with one of his friends from when he was a college student there. And then one February, he goes missing. Nobody knows where he went. Now, the story we've heard, and one of his roommates confirmed the story. He was very much obsessed with a girl on the island that was another student. And he loved her. He was in love with her, but she did not return the feeling. And he once came up and approached her and said, "I love you. I want to marry you. You're the girl I want to be with the rest of my life." And she was like, "I don't really want to have anything to do with you. Please leave me alone." That of course broke his heart. He just lost the girl he fell in love with and never even was dating her. Now the rumor was that she had a boyfriend who got pissed, but that's all we know about him. Now, that's a rumor. We don't have any concrete proof of the boyfriend, but that's what we were told by one of the roommates of his. And so he goes in February, he goes missing. They didn't find his body until July. And it was off in the woods, up on one of the bluffs, kind of in a remote area of the woods. I actually have spoken with the one of the people who found his body. She was on a horse. And they said they saw something in the woods. It looked like clothing. They got off their horses to look closer, and they realized it was a rotting body.
Oh, wow.
And that was him. We have the police report on everything they found, how he was discovered, what they found when they found him. And it was pretty detailed. It was pretty detailed police report on everything, forensics. It was kind of gory. But he had a Marlin hunting rifle with him in his possession at the time they found him. They described his clothes, his boots. I mean, they really got everything down. And they ruled it as a suicide. So we ruled it, okay, it's a suicide. However, the one thing that kept sticking in our heads and weren't comfortable with the suicide was the fact that one of the ghosts that was giving us EVPs in the theater was saying murder. And we're like, okay, is this Harvey? Is this the guy? Was it a murder? Was it a suicide? We originally thought it was a suicide. We still don't know for sure. There's no way that we can prove it. It's too far back. It's the 1960s. And there's nothing to prove it anymore. There's nothing left. So we're getting this murder. And we got one EVP that said not suicide. And we're like, oh, we got this police report saying somebody committed suicide, and yet we've got this something telling us not suicide and something saying murder. And we're like, oh, this is just too much. So we were interested in it. And then for a little while on the tour, we were mentioning the EVP that we caught and the police report. And it was just kind of a side story on the tour that some of the guys would talk about. Well, we had a state police officer on one of our tours, and he goes, "I'm very familiar with the case. I know the one you're talking about. I remember reading about it. I'm going to get back to you. I got something I want to talk to you about." So we didn't expect to ever hear from him again. Maybe a month or two later, we get contacted by this state police officer, and he goes, "Yeah, your story, it checks out. I looked at the forensics on this police report," which we had, and we were going through it when he was going through it. He goes, "Look at the description of the actual wounds to what was left of Harvey." He goes, "There's skull fragments found, I think it was 20 feet to the north, like the northwest of the body. Exit wound from a gunshot." I'm sorry if this is gory, but it was a gory story.
It's interesting.
And then
though,
he says, "If you ought to notice, there is skull fragments 15 feet to the east, opposite direction, completely another direction of the body." And he said, "The only way you're going to get skull fragments in two opposite directions, roughly 35 to 40 feet away from each other, is if you got two gunshot wounds in two directions to the head." He said, "I hate to say this because I'm a skeptic, but your thing about the whole murder thing, you might have some truth to that." Because he said, "You'd have a better shot at winning the lottery than taking a long-barreled bolt-action rifle, shooting yourself in the head once, not dying, bolt-action again, unloading a cartridge, putting another one into the chamber with a rifle, not a handgun, a rifle, putting it to your head again and firing a second shot." He said, "That just doesn't happen." I mean, it can, but he said, it's like winning the lottery. You're not going to see that very often unless it's a suicide or a murder that's made to look like it was a suicide.
Right. Hey, back to the interview with Carol and Todd in just a second. But first, people try to break habits in all different ways. Some work, some do not. Some are just flat out, you just laugh. You're like, really? Why did you post that? Is that something that you're truly believing in? This weird voodoo mind trick that someone's sister's cat's uncle told you about? You know, you see that sometimes. We're talking about our sponsor, Fume. They look at that problem of breaking a bad habit in a very different way. Not everything in a bad habit is wrong. So instead of a drastic, uncomfortable change, why not just remove the bad from your habit? Fume is an innovative award-nominated device that does just that. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses all natural, delicious flavors. Get it? Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy, and it makes replacing your bad habits that much easier. I'm a fidgeter. I like to have something in my hand. And I'll tell you what, if I could get something there like this that helps break a bad habit, I am all about it. Fume comes with an adjustable airflow dial and is designed with movable parts and magnets for fidgeting. Yes, it's kind of like a fidget toy, giving your fingers a lot to do, which is helpful for de-stressing and anxiety while breaking your habit. First time I tasted, I was very surprised. More flavorful than I thought it was going to be, but very fresh, very good. Stopping is something we all put off because it's hard, but switching to Fume is easy, enjoyable, and even fun. Fume has served over 100,000 customers and has thousands of success stories, and there's no reason that can't be you. Join Fume in accelerating humanity's breakup from destructive habits by picking up the Journey Pack today. Head to tryfume.com and use code GRAVETALKS to save 10% off when you get the Journey Pack today. That's tryfume.com. And use code GRAVETALKS to save an additional 10% off your order today.
Or they just wanted to wrap a bow on this investigation, and it sure sounds a lot better to the people who live around there to say, oh, he killed himself rather than he was murdered.
Yeah. You don't want to have a murder on Mackinac Island. It's a tourist place. You don't want things to look bad. It would look bad that a college student was murdered at Mackinac Island. It looks bad. But I can't say, yes, it was absolutely a murder and it wasn't a suicide. I can't say it because there's no way to actually prove that anymore. The body was cremated. We know that because it's in the police report. So we put together a theory as to what may have happened. Again, this is theory. So he goes after this girl. The boyfriend gets wind of it, doesn't want this guy after his girlfriend, goes, takes him to the bar one night. They go off after the bar for a hike in the woods. He plants his gun out in the forest. It was Harvey's gun, but he might have had access to the dorm room, grabs the gun, puts it in the woods. They go for a hike, corners him, says, "I told you, leave my girl alone," and bam, and he's moving and he's not dead, and bam, and he runs and he's done and throws the gun on the ground. And there's your murder-suicide possible. It's a theory, but it seems to fit some of the story.
That's fascinating.
And if it wasn't for us talking to that state cop,
exactly,
if it wasn't for us talking to him, we would have always said it's a suicide, but it might. There's somebody at the Mission Point Resort. There's a ghost there that says murder, not suicide. Could have been someone else. We have a lot of ghosts.
It seems, too, that it would be interesting, you know, I don't know if you take a psychic in or whatever, whoever, but to explain, hey, we think that we know what you want us to know now.
I'm not sold on psychics because one of the things I focused on in college, I had three degrees. I had a degree in psychology, marketing, and communications and journalism. I was very skeptical of psychics, and I still am, because my psych major, I focused on neurolinguistic programming, and I learned about how con men do what they do and subliminal messages and all these things. And I'm just like, okay, that's psychic's trick. Some of them I've been blown away by. Some of them I'm like, oh, you're using the 80-20 rule with 80% of every human being on earth is exactly the same. Mm-hmm. 20% of it makes us original. And they focus on the 80% and then they narrow down by you answering questions to the 20%. Some psychics hate me for doing that. I don't do it. I'm friends with some, and some, I've met some that I'm like, okay, yeah, you got a gift. You're picking up on things there's no one knows. There's no way you could know this. It's not, unless you were doing some of the research I've done, which I know you didn't, because it's a lot of work to get into like some of the archives. You have to sign credentials and do all that.
Oh, right.
They go through that much work just to tell me a two sentence thing about something that I've never told anyone. I doubt it. I really doubt it, especially because one lives in Georgia.
Yeah. And I do think that Harvey would want his story known. Like if you're still haunting someplace and it's said that you committed suicide and you're like, no, I didn't. That's the one thing you would want people to know.
Yeah. And that's something that we've gotten a lot of. And we've had some weird EVPs. We had an EVP one night of gunshots in the theater.
Ooh.
None of us heard it, but it was on the recording. There were 7 gunshots on the recording.
Ooh.
And we still don't know how that happened. And it was, you heard the boom, shh, boom, shh. Like literally it was some sort of, it was not a handgun. It was a rifle or a shotgun. That's what it sounded like. None of us heard it. And it was on the EVP when we played it back. We're like, what was that?
What are some of the other,
it is amazing,
other places that you feel like there's a lot of activity there?
Fort has a Mackinac. Lot of activity. I mean, we don't get a chance to investigate it like we have the theater at Mission Point, but on the investigations, we've had some strange things happen. We had one investigation. We had access to the fort and some of the buildings for like 2 hours. And we had about 20 people with us. Everybody kind of split up. Myself and one of our tour guides went right where we wanted to go because we had access, and there's one place we wanted to investigate was the Officer's Hill quarters. And we went straight there, got set up on the second floor by the kids' bedrooms. There's 2 kids that died there, by their bedrooms, and just started going with recording equipment, asking questions. And we were like, "This, if we can only be here for a short period of time, this is where we're going to be." So we're sitting there on the floor in front of one of the kids' bedrooms. And we're, is there anybody here? You know, typical ghost hunting questions. What's your name? And we didn't get anything. And then all of a sudden, the girl who's sitting across from me, I see her hair, like somebody pinched a chunk of her hair. She had long hair and lifted it above her head and then kind of tugged and dropped it. She wasn't moving. And she saw me looking at it. She goes, is this a spider? Is there a spider in my hair? She's freaking out because she thinks it's a spider. And I'm like, that wasn't a spider. Your hair just literally stood up in one spot and dropped. And she's like, and then she went from scared of spiders to, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, it's a ghost, ghost, it's a ghost. And we're just like, we saw what you did. Can you tell us anything? And we're like, who is it that did this? And we get a little kid's voice, very little kid. It was me. Recorded, it goes, it was me.
Oh,
and
wow.
We're like, oh my gosh, it's her. It was me. So that was my favorite piece of evidence from Fort Mackinac. Lots of different spots on the fort. There's been other things that happened over the years, but that was one of my personal experiences that I will never forget.
Golly, how could you forget that? And the one place, and you brought it up a minute ago, was the movie Somewhere in Time that a lot of people have seen. That came, that was like what, in the 80s or something like that came out? Was
early really, 80s, late 70s.
Yeah, really, really famous movie. It was a really incredible mm-hmm. movie. I think it stands up to today. But I heard was shot at the Grand Hotel, and then you just mentioned at the Old Mission Resort as well.
Mm-hmm. The filming locations were several places. They filmed the Grand Hotel. The school on the island was the theater, but the theater was actually at Mission Point Resort. It's Hollywood playing games with where you think you are. You're not where you think you are. So there's a lot of different spots that they filmed the movie while they were there. The sound stage is where they did the interior shots with the hotel rooms and some of the other like interior spots.
And did that really increase tourism, make the island even more well-known? Because I would imagine after that movie came out, everybody wanted to go there.
I mean, the island's been pretty big for tourism since the turn of the 20th century, 1900s. It's been pretty popular for tourism. The movie didn't hurt it. There was a movie This Time for Keeps, Jimmy Durante. It's an older movie. That one was the first big movie filmed on the island. This was the second big movie filmed on the island. So it's got a couple of big Hollywood movies on the island. It doesn't hurt for tourism, obviously. Right. And the Somewhere in Time people still come to the island, the fans, every fall, and they do like dress up and movie film festival Somewhere in Time, and every year they're here.
So, and I heard that the Grand Hotel is a haunted location. So is that true?
Yes, it is. The staff isn't supposed to talk about their ghost stories. I understand it. It's a very nice, very exclusive type hotel. But yeah, we've talked to a lot of tourists who have stayed there. We've talked to people who work there. We've picked up some ghost stories that we know about at Grand Hotel. They don't talk about it, but I did find this when I was going through the archives at University of Michigan. There was this newsletter that used to come out. It was like in the 1950s, and it talked about one of their ghost stories published by Grand Hotel, talking about their own ghost stories. Talked about the woman in black. That was their ghost story they had in there. There's a woman who checked in. No one knew who she was. Her servants checked her in. She never left her room except to walk her dog on the front porch. And she was dressed in black. And it looked like she was mourning someone's death because she had a veil over her face, black veil over her face. And she would walk her dogs, go back to her room, and never do anything else on the island. And then she checked out mysteriously. No one knew who she was. And the story goes that a black raven or a crow landed on her windowsill of her hotel room and stayed there for 3 days and then left, and she was never heard from again. But some people say they've seen a woman in black walking the front porch, and sometimes she has dogs with her. That's the ghost story the Grand Hotel had,
which is kind of a generic ghost story. You know, it seems like a lot of hotels,
pretty generic.
A lot of hotels have the woman in white or the woman in red, and they're all mourning something, or they were jilted lovers or something. It seems to be a pretty common story.
There was another story I found It was about a little girl who accidentally fell out of one of the windows and she passed away. And then there's the story of a little girl of a ghost that haunts the hallways in Grand Hotel. And she only seems to really make an effort to approach children, kids. And I have had a lot of kids who have reported to me seeing her. She never gets very close to you. She's usually playing with like a little rubber ball, or she's just kind of hide and go seekish down the hallway, and they'll see her. And they said that she looked like she was real. That was the big thing. All the kids say, I thought it was a real little girl, and she disappeared in front of me, just vanished in front of me.
And how do you explain that to your
kids?
And
then, adults usually will explain, oh, it's the kid. Kids.
It's your imagination. Thing. Yeah.
There's a story of a security guard. You hear his keys rattling. There's a story of the Grand Hotel's music. And if you're staying on the second floor above the main ballroom, the dining room area, in the middle of the night, you'll hear big band music, clinking of glasses, and chatter of people on the floor in an empty room below you. That's the dining room. I've heard that from several people. It's like ghostly music and a party. You don't see anything. You just hear it if you're listening to close to the floor of the hotel rooms.
And it
on
does
the second floor.
It looks like an incredible place to stay.
Oh, it is. It's very old fashioned. You have to wear.
That's what
like,
would make it fun.
After 5 p.m., men have to wear sports coats and ties. Women have to wear dresses. Yeah, it's one of those old, semi-formal grand old hotels that we don't have a lot of those anymore, but That's one of them.
Do you have one more location you want to talk about, something that's pretty interesting on the island?
It's a weird ghost story, and it's the one that we get misquoted on all the time, and I just like to talk about it to sort of set the record straight for most people. The Drowning Pool. Most people want to know about the Drowning Pool. It's in a lot of news articles because it kind of went viral. However, the news article that originally picked it up left out what I said in the beginning and went with it as fact when it was never meant to go out as a fact. And we get a little slack for saying it's a fact when we never said it was a fact.
And you never even said it was a fact.
So heard rumblings of a story about a witch trial on Mackinac Island and the women were drowned. So we had heard this mostly through the carriage tour drivers. That's where it was really born, was carriage tour drivers, taxi cab drivers. They drive their horses, and when you're sitting there, sometimes for a long time, they tell you stories. And so we'd heard this story from some carriage drivers, and then there was another local who had mentioned it, but he probably got it from them too, and we're like, wow, this is a really good story. So the story, which, by the way, is pure legend. There's no truth to it that we found anywhere, but there's an interesting twist to it too. So the legend is that during the heyday of the fur trade of Mackinac Island, so you're talking about late 1700s, early 1800s, there were brothels on the island, which is true. There was a fort, there was fur traders, lonely men, there were brothels. That's pretty well documented. People know that there were at least a few brothels on the island. So the story goes that some of the men in the brothels were caught by their wives or their significant others, and they confronted them. And one of the men, or all the men, said that these women are bewitching the men on Mackinac Island to come to their brothel. They're witches. That's the story that we were told. And some of the locals on the island said, well, we know they did this in Salem to see if they were witches. Maybe we should do something like that here and test them. So they would take them to water and they would tie rocks around their ankles. And if they went under and they floated and didn't drown, they were witches because they can't float. And if they drowned, we're sorry. God rest. We made a mistake. So the story that we were told was that they took 7 women and put them into this body of water out by Mission Point. Now, there is a body of water out by Mission Point. Some people debate whether it was historically there or not. The oldest photos I've seen, you can see where it could be, but the water level goes up and down on the lakes, and it seems like there's a deeper area near the Mission Point shoreline, which could be it. And when the lake levels are low, it's a pool of water instead of like part of the lake. It gets cut off by gravel and rock. So the legend was, we assume this is the area that it happened. It's deep water. It's really close to the shoreline. So that is where we were told the drowning pool was. So that's where we assumed that story came from. So they threw him in the water. They all drowned. We're so sorry. And let's not talk about it ever again. And then there was also stories from this area of ghosts or ghostly activity. You'd hear footsteps in the gravelly rock. You'd see splashes in the water that didn't seem to make sense. There's reeds around it that would seem like somebody was walking through the reeds. You hear the cracks and the pops, and you'd see the reeds move like somebody's moving through it, but no one's there. So there's a ghost story attached to it. And the story that we were told by carriage drivers was, it's the witches seeking their revenge on Mackinac Island. There's the legend. So we, because it was a good story, used it on the tour for two seasons. It was our finale story for two seasons on the tour because it was a fun, crazy story with witches and brothels and ghost stories. And it was cool. It was a cool story. But we always said before the story, this story is purely speculation. It's legend. There's no proof whatsoever this ever happened. We know what's true. There were brothels on the island. We know what's true. There's activity out here, and that's all we know for sure. There's ghostly activity, and there were brothels. So the rest of it, fill in the blanks, it came from a legendary story from carriage drivers. So we go in, and we tell the story with the strict caveat that it's a legend. This is not true, but it's a legend, and we know there's activity out here. So take it with a grain of salt and do what you will with it, but we feel it's fun to share it because it's a fun story. So every time I've ever told the story, I tell people we don't have any proof of it, but this is the story, or this is a legend. Don't take any of this for face value, but it's an interesting story. It makes you scratch your head. That got cut out. It went viral. And now every Halloween, people run the story of the drowning pool without the legend part. So I got a lot of slack for it for years. I still do. To this day, I still hear people saying, it's not true. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But then I ask them, do you know the true story of the drowning pool? There is no true story. Oh, actually, there is a real story at that pool of water. So first off, while we were telling the story, of course, because I didn't have any proof, I was doing some research. I was researching to find anything. So I wanted to see if this legend had any truth to it at all. I found an obscure book that talked about the French up in St. Ignace, and just one or two paragraphs in this French St. Ignace story mentions a woman, a Native American woman, was caught as a prostitute, and the penalty for prostitution in the French law back in those days, probably you're thinking 1700s, was execution. Now, a bullet costs money and there's effort. Building a gallows, it takes effort, costs money. Building a guillotine, effort, money. They don't want to spend the money. They're going to execute her. They're going to do it the easiest way possible. Throw in the water. So we don't know for a fact, but she was executed. It does state that the sentence was carried out. It's only like two paragraphs, and it's the only place I've ever found any documentation of a prostitute being executed in the Mackinac area. St. Ignace is one of the cities right across from the island, but she was executed. So we're assuming maybe that's where legend was born.
And that's how all those urban legends start.
Urban legends all start with an ounce of truth.
Yeah.
So we think that's where the legend of the drowning pool came from at some point, was that an executed prostitute in St. Ignace was never accused of witchcraft. It was just she was a prostitute and they executed her. And then there was paranormal activity at this pool of water out by Mission Point, which we found out later, and we're still trying to find out the name of the person. I just haven't followed up on it enough yet. But in the 1980s, apparently, there were some summer workers out there partying, drinking, and having a really good time. And one of them jumped in the water and drowned in that exact pool of water that is rumored to be haunted by these witches. So we think it's him haunting the area, the person who drowned in the 1980s. We're still trying to catch a name. We haven't found the name. There isn't a whole lot of, I mean, the record keeping up there has been sporadic. Sometimes you'll find tons of information and sometimes you won't find anything. And usually I go through death records, but you don't know the date, the year. It's hard to find some of it because they release blocks of death certificates at every few years. And right now they're in the 1960s for public access. And eventually it'll catch up to the 80s and we'll find it. Because we go through all those death records to see if there's anything that's linked to a ghost story any way possible. And we have found out the identity of one of our ghosts because of those records, a death certificate. And we're just like, so it is true. There's a ghost there. That's where he was shot. Oh my gosh. And this is his name. And this is who he was and what year it was. We got everything. It fit the bill where there was a ghost story.
And that's what makes it so interesting to me, what you're doing with the history and trying to go, okay, so we've got this thing happening here and digging into it. And that makes it so interesting to me.
Yeah, what we do in a nutshell is we may take history and look for the part that people really want to hear about. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a good thing, but a lot of people want to know, you go to Gettysburg, everyone wants to know where the hospital is, where's where the battles fought, where was this, not where somebody went out to dinner and where somebody shopped in a market and where, I mean, there are some parts like where they planned, the generals all gathered here and that's cool. But everybody wants to go to the battlefield. They want to go to the hospital that hundreds of people died and they were throwing body parts out the window because they couldn't stack them in the floor. It was getting too high. They want to hear about that. And we're just like, that leads to ghost stories when you have heavy duty tragedies. And so I look at it and sometimes it's depressing. You look at the tragic stories that could lead to a paranormal experience. So you get the dark history. We research the history, but we don't necessarily always look in the textbook or the book that was written. We look at what was the source material for it, if we can find it. And there's sometimes an extra paragraph or two that tells you something they didn't want the tourists to really hear about back then because it's gruesome or it's sad. And we pull that out and say, now we're going to tell them. And by the way, we think that weird thing that's happening there where the door is opening on its own and sometimes people see a person walking through it, it's not there. It could be this person that we found something about.
If somebody wants to read the books, I saw them on Amazon, so you can certainly go there and pick them up, order them today.
Oh, yeah, yep.
And then, of course, if you go to Mackinac Island, you could buy the book all over the books.
Yep, it's in several gift shops. The bookstore, I always push them because they're the ones who got me my start, and they always have it.
What's the name of Tam's? Was it Tam's bookstore?
Tam's the manager of the store. It's the Island Bookstore. Okay. It's in the ground floor in the back of the Lilac Tree Hotel, right on Main Street. Those copies are all signed. I promise I sign them all.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
Yeah, I've gotten writer's cramp sometimes, but I do sign every book they sell.
The tours would be so fun. And so that's hauntsofmackinac.com, correct?
Yes, and Mackinac is spelled with a C. It ends with the letter C, not W.
So
that is a thing that has to do with French and British translation. The French end it with a C, and the British ended it with a W. Anything from the bridge north is the French spelling. Anything from the bridge south is the British spelling with a W.
That's crazy. So I'll also put a link on the description of this episode, so you can just click right there and see, so they can see the spelling right there as well. But this has been really fantastic. You had some really good stories.
I probably have a million more. We do change up the tour from time to time because we can do it. We've got enough stories to do multiple different style tours. We change stories, add tours, stories, drop stories. We just go on audience, like what stories they seem to like the most, and we try and focus into those stories more.
And when you get the new book finished, reach out and we'll do another episode.
Yeah, for sure.
That would be really fun. But thank you so much. This has been really a great conversation.
I'm glad to help out.
And that wraps up our conversation with Todd Clements. You can purchase his books, Haunts of Mackinac Island and Haunts of Mackinac Island, The Next Chapter, on Amazon. And get information on the Haunts of Mackinac ghost tours at hauntsofmackinac.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there, also all ad free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thanks for listening.